This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So just give us a call, send us an email, or if you want, you can. We don't have tickets to give away today, but we'll have tickets later on to give you away for hockey and for basketball. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We'll talk with Associate Head Coach Dwayne Stevens about basketball, and then we'll chat with our good friend, from Detroit, and we'll talk with him about the hockey strike and how things have settled with Drew Sharp. But first up, let's bring in Dwayne Stevens. Hey, DJ, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Okay. Hey, we didn't get a chance to talk after the alumni game. A great game. Now, I had heard all up that week that you weren't going to be playing in it. Then when I show up, you're playing in the game. What happened?
No, I think some of those, some of my former teammates and stuff kind of got after me and said I better be playing Steve and Pep and those guys. And I'm glad I did. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I heard you got in a little trash talking with AP there.
Nah, we just talk a little bit. You know, it's funny because all those guys, they laugh and you tell them you could play or you could do this, you could do that. So those guys, they thought it was pretty funny seeing me out there.
Yeah. Did they actually believe that you could really play after you made a couple of shots?
Nah, probably not. But especially since I banked it. But it was a lot of fun. And the guys, I think that they were happy to see me out there. And to be honest with you, it means more to me now that those guys actually got a chance to say, hey, you know, Coach DJ did play at Michigan State, and being a former player here is a big deal. And for me, that means more than anything else.
Yeah, because you're right. That was a big deal for everybody. All the players that came back. I was really surprised about how many players came back. Did that surprise you at all, or did you sort of expect as many players to show up?
I was a little surprised at the number of guys that came back overall. I was surprised at some of the guys that decided they were going to play. You know, that was one of the reasons I was talking about not playing is, you know, I that's for the younger guys. And then you start getting, Mr. Bograkis and, you know, some older guys that got out there and played. And, you know, it was pretty neat. It was exciting for me. But I think it speaks to where Coach Izzo has kind of brought the program and the love that the players have for the program. I think that's a big deal.
Hey, well, one of our listeners has called in and asked, hey, Earl, ask DJ if he called bank on that three-point shot he hit.
I definitely called bank. I don't know if you guys could hear it, but I did call bank.
Well, that's good. That's what he wanted to know. It was a fun game, and it really felt funny being back there in Jenison after all those years. You know, I know that wasn't your main playing spot, but boy, it certainly brought back a lot of memories, though, didn't it?
You know what? It was fun for me because my freshman year, I actually practiced in Jenison for 2 weeks before we moved into Breslin. So I was the first group that didn't get a chance to play there. And for me, it was something that I always wanted to do, and being able to do it, even if it was just the, former players game, it was still a big deal. I remember when I was being recruited and coming up and watching those guys play, and, you know, I forgot how people used to line up and kind of shake the guys' hands as they walked on and off the court, and just some of the little stuff like that was a big deal back then. And now you kind of you forget about that stuff because we got an unbelievable facility in Breslin Arena, but, you know, some of the old traditions and the feel that you get from being back in Jenison is pretty neat as well.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, everyone told me the first thing that caught their eye, of course, was the smell of that popcorn when they walked in.
Yeah. I mean, it's a neat place, and, you know, I don't know if we'll play there again, but I think our players enjoyed it, and I know the fans did. So maybe that's something that could take place again in the future.
Yeah, let's hope so, because that was a special evening, and hopefully it can happen again. And everybody seemed to enjoy themselves and have a good time. And a lot of the people, I mean, I saw so many people back when I was in school that came back for that game. I mean, they don't usually come to games, as you know. A lot of people don't. But for that game, there was a ton of people, especially old Spartans, coming back.
Yeah, it was a lot of guys that came back, and you know, I think I heard different people talk about where their season tickets used to be, and you know, Judd talking about it being a big game because the corners were filled and the different things like that. But it was neat. Like I said, I hope maybe we can do something again in the future.
Yeah. Hey, DJ, what about this year's team? We got a lot of people are wondering about this year's team. It's a very young team, only one senior on the team. So are you still learning the ways and learning things, learning how to play together? Is that still in your mind, in the players' mind, that they've got to get better at playing together as a team?
Yeah, I think we're still growing in that aspect of it. You know, guys are trying to figure it out. And I think that's always going to be an issue when you play with, you know, two freshmen as much as we do with Valentine and Harris. You know, I think the more time those guys can play together, and then you got Dawson, who more or less playing a new position for him, playing at the four. I think there's some different things that guys got to get used to. But, you know, I think the team has a very high ceiling. You know, we just got to realize that potential and get all the pieces working together and playing well together at the same time. You know, we see different spurts from different guys at different times, and, you know, we can get all those guys playing well at the same time. I think we'd have a heck of a team.
Yes, and of course, this is a year, you know, that, yes, you have a good team, but boy, the Big Ten is really, really tough this year, isn't it?
No question. You know, you watch the games, you know, from night to night, and then you say, man, you know, Wisconsin's good. You know, you start talking about some of the teams that aren't picked in the top five or six in the league. When you're talking about Wisconsin, Iowa, even the Northwestern, who lost, you know, their best player, they're a tough preparation, and they play hard. You know, Nebraska and Wisconsin have a tough game yesterday, and Penn State's played well at different points. So I think our league's as good as it's ever been, and it's going to be a heck of a year to see how things unfold. I know the one thing has been already been proven is going to be tough to get road wins in this league this year.
Oh, that's for sure. I know one thing. Usually I don't look forward to the Big Ten tournament, but this could be just a knockout, that knockdown drag burner Big Ten tournament this year.
Yeah, I think the Big Ten tournament for me is like that every year, but I think the fans will really get a kick out of seeing all the top teams play this year, and just I think the quality of basketball is going to be at a premium.
Yeah, so we've got so much good basketball in the area, and that's great. And with Michigan State, has always been a good team. But with you having so just fewer numbers this year, that makes it even doubly tougher because so many of the other team have veterans, and a lot of the Big Ten has a lot of big guys this year, don't they?
Yeah, I think there's some quality big men in our league. But I think just the overall talent in our league is at a point that it hadn't been in a very long time. I see we got some terrific individual talent, but I think we got some terrific teams as well. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yes, it should be, and I know people will be looking forward to it with all the quality teams playing basketball, and that's something. I mean, we just haven't seen. We've always seen. You know, I always say I'm spoiled because we've seen a lot of good Big Ten quality basketball. But boy, this year just seems to separate itself from all those other years that we've had good basketball.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's a heck of a league from the standpoint that there are no nights off, and you're going to get everyone's best shot, especially on their home floor. So, you know, I know for us, we're going into every game knowing that we have to, you know, play our best or we probably ain't going to win.
Yes, that's going to be tough. How do you approach that going in, and especially with such a young team? So how do you approach that? Just knowing that, hey, every game you go in, you got to win it, or at least try to win it, or as come close as you can to win it. If you don't win it, how do you approach that game? A game like that.
I think you know. One, we played those early games that were tough. Mm-hmm. You know, UConn and Kansas, and you know our guys, I think we figured out that if we don't show up, we can get beat by a team like UConn. I think if we play UConn 10 times, we probably beat them 8 times. And I think you saw a different team come out versus Kansas, and we knew that it was going to be a tough game and that we were going to have to play at a high level in order to win it. So I think, you know, playing those early games helped that. But our guys, they're not dumb. They watch these games and they know that these other teams are playing really well. And in order for us to win, we're going to have to go in there and give teams our best shot. You know, in the past, there were times where you could play a Northwestern or maybe even a Minnesota and, you know, not play your best and still get a win. I think this year that all that's throw that out the window, because if you go into an arena this year and you don't have your A game, I'm almost guaranteeing you that you ain't going to win.
Yeah, because it's very, very tough to win in the Big Ten this year. That's for sure. And also, how do you when you look at some of these other teams as good as they are this year? And I know you don't want to overemphasize how good these teams are, but you do have to tell them how these teams are very good quality teams and that they can really beat you. It's not like you're just giving them a little word dance, and they can beat you. But no, these teams can really beat you. Even the worst team, you have to be ready for them, don't you?
No question. And like I said, our guys, we got enough guys, and you know, Nick and Payne and Keith, and you know, even though Alex and Bird didn't play a ton, those guys they've been around and they know what it looks like when in the Big Ten and what it looks like to win and what it looks like to compete night in, night out. So they know, and they pass that stuff along to some of the younger guys that maybe haven't been through it as much. And I think that's – and you talk about it. You talk about it in your meetings. You talk about it in your film sessions. And I think that's how you get it through to those younger guys.
Okay. Hey, Dwayne, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get together again and talk a little bit more basketball and let you I know the stories will get a little bit larger the next time we talk.
No question. They get larger every day.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Dwayne.
All right, Earl. You take care, man.
Okay, bye-bye. Yep. And that's Dwayne Stevens talking sports with us right here on AM 870. It's 20 minutes after the off 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870. WKAR.
When headlines warned that milk prices could double to $7 a gallon, the country sat up and took notice. At the last minute, Congress extended the farm bill to keep milk prices steady, but they put off other important agricultural issues like disaster aid and subsidies. I'm Ari Shapiro, the consequences of a short-term farm bill fix. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, and thanks for listening today. Checking the weather forecast to start out our week. Sunny today, high around 33. A partly cloudy night tonight with lows in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny on Tuesday with highs in the mid-30s. And looking ahead to Wednesday's forecast, mostly sunny and windy with highs in the lower 40s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And now we're going to talk some hockey and some of the big, a little bit about, it's a little bit of a football game tonight that I think a few of you probably heard of. Alabama and Notre Dame will be playing tonight. We'll talk about that as well. But first, let's bring in our good friend Drew Sharp and talk. And Drew, what happened? How did the hockey gods finally get this thing settled? Okay.
Wait a minute, Earl, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I was under the impression that I was talking to the new host of the show when we got to 2013. You're still there?
I'm still here.
Haven't kicked you out yet?
They haven't kicked me out yet. I still got a few more days.
Well, I'm sorry. I was supposed to talk to the next host. I'm sorry.
Well, you'll get your chance.
Well, it seems like everyone got their New Year's gift. If you're an NHL fan, that the lockout came to an end. It's no surprise that it came to an end. That the owners they were concerned that if the Players Association were able to dissolve its union, kind of what the NBA players did and NFL players did. If that happened, then they could possibly sue the owners for the violation of antitrust laws. And if that were the case, if they won it, then the owners would have to pay, they would have to recover the money that the athletes lost since the lockout started. So you knew that once the Players Association was able to take that next step, then you would see a resolution to this. And it's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, this is the third time in the last 2 years we've had a major work stoppage in three of the four major sports. And at some point, I mean, you're not going to see it now for the next 6-7 years because everyone has a new deal now, so it shouldn't be a problem. But I'm telling you, I think if I was a fan, if I was really a sports fan and bought tickets to these sports, there'd be a part of me that says, "No freaking way are you getting another dime out of me after what you have put the sports fan through over the last 2 years." But of course, the fans will come back in droves because they're sheep. They're sheep. They're basically sheep. And this is how they'll respond. The owners know this. Players know that.
That's true. And they do it and they show it all the time. I mean, as much as we talk about it and such, we know the fans will definitely be back. There might be one or two that won't come back. I've heard that during strike years. I'm not coming back, even though I think they eventually come back. But we usually hear from one or two people that they're not coming back. But you're right. They'll be back in droves. And especially if you love your sports and if you love hockey as much. A lot of people are so passionate about hockey, you know they're not going to give it up.
Well, fans are more passionate about hockey than I think they are about football or baseball or basketball. And this is one thing I think the owners know this. They know that this is the third work stoppage in the NHL in the last 20 years. Three times you've had seasons either eliminated or cut short into half. And each time, the hardcore hockey fans always came back. They've lost the mainstream people. The mainstream fans are gone. And if NHL people figured they still had a chance of attracting the casual fan into hockey, they've lost that for good. Now, so now all they care about is to make sure that they haven't lost those who are so obsessed with the sport, they cannot walk away from it. And they're not going to lose those people. Those people are going to come back. But, you know, the NHL is forever now just a niche sport. It will appeal to its small pocket of hardcore fans. But that's it.
And that has to be a little bit unfortunate. And you know, Drew, when we talk about some of these hardcore fans as they are, and we look at so many of them that are in football, and now they're being challenged just because of all the new graphics and everything in football. You know, you have to make that the. Not more appealing, at the games. If you go to a game, they have to be more appealing to you, because why go to a game when you can sit at home and watch it on your 50 or 60 inch screen TV?
But unlike the other sports, though, Earl, hockey still is a sport that is better appreciated in person.
Yes.
Football, you can watch at home. I don't understand why anyone would pay $150 for a football ticket when you can sit in your HD TV. Because in football, on TV, the action, the focus of action is so concentrated that the cameras are perfect for it. In baseball is one that I think it lends itself to being there in person, because you can't see the strategy that goes on with changing the outfielders and the infielders. You can't get that. But football, especially in basketball, it lends itself to TV. But hockey, you can't really appreciate it on television. I think that's a big reason why it's never been able to catch on as as a mainstream sport. Because one of the biggest strategic moves in hockey is the home team gets the last line change. You can change and match up the guys that you want. You can't tell that on television. That you're following the puck all the time. It's impossible for TV to capture the strategy that's involved in the home coach say, okay, star scorer is out there. I'm going to make sure I get my top defenseman out there right now. You can't see that on television.
And that is too bad. But that's part of the sport. And like you say, we all love football. We know football is still the king in America. How big is... We know football is big as in Canada, but it's not as big as hockey in Canada, is it?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Hockey is the national sport there. I mean, this is where, Canadian kids, when you're five, six, as soon as you can lace up skates, you're out in a frozen pond somewhere in northern Canada, when it's 20 degrees below zero, and you're out there playing. I mean, they learn to skate before they can walk, I think, those young Canadian kids. So, yeah, I mean, it's a national holiday in Canada right now. Because, their sport is back. And like I said, there's a stronger bond between hockey and its fans as opposed to football and its fans and baseball and its fans. And that's why I think you're going to see a lot of anger still from fans because of this, because it took 113 days to resolve something that should never have taken that long. And you're going to see some type of retaliation, if you will, some type of a protest. It'll be modest. It won't, but I think you're going to see something. Some fans are just going to say, no, I'm not going to, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to buy a ticket. I'll watch the games on television for this year, but I'm not going to buy a ticket.
Well, who's going to win tonight's game between Alabama and Notre Dame?
Well, come on now. is Alabama in the SEC?
I think they are. Last time I checked, they're still there.
Has the SEC won the last six national championships?
Yeah, they've won a few of them.
I don't think Alabama should be a 9-point favorite. I believe they're a 9-point favorite over Notre Dame.
Yep. 10 points the last I saw.
Vegas. I don't think Vegas is giving Notre Dame enough respect. Maybe they're giving Alabama too much respect. But, Earl, we talked about this before. The team with the best offensive line, the most dominant offensive line, you're going to win the majority of football games. You're going to win the majority of football games because you get to control the tempo of the game. And Alabama has one of the best offensive lines we've seen in college football in quite some time. They have three guys on that team. If they all are eligible for the NFL draft, all three can be drafted in the first round for this year. It's a tremendous offensive line. They'll be going against Notre Dame's strength, their defensive front seven. If they can control the point of attack, Alabama's going to be able to run the ball. you know, if they can run the ball, then it opens up the play action game, and you know, the Irish will lose by a couple touchdowns. They could be.
Okay.
You know, but that's it's gonna be an interesting game though.
Yes, it will. I mean, it should be a very good game, and we know a lot of the Alabama fans are they badly want to spank Notre Dame. I don't know how bad they'll spank Notre Dame. Some ways, Drew, I sort of think, you know, maybe because a couple of years ago there was so much riding on Alabama that one they lost, and this time I don't know why I'm sort of thinking that it could be an upset this year.
Could be. It could be. Everything has fallen perfectly into place for Notre Dame this year. Everything. The Big Ten was historically wretched this year, so they were able to go 3-0. The Pittsburgh game, you remember that game? The kicker in overtime for Pittsburgh missed what should have been a chip shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 99 out of 100 times he makes that kick. This one time he didn't. Notre Dame was able to win that game to keep their hopes alive. SC in the last game of the regular season. Matt Barkley didn't have a tremendous season, but still, is a senior quarterback. Instead they had to face a first-time redshirt freshman. You know, so that helped them win that game against Southern Cal. So everything fell into place for Notre Dame. So, again, if you get a couple injuries, a couple turnovers for Alabama that you didn't foresee happening, you know, it could happen. But I have a hard time, you know, if I were to put cash on this, I have a hard time betting against Saban in a national championship game.
Do you see at all that the NFL, that college football is approaching the NFL, or is the NFL just still king and still the most dominant sport we have in America?
Well, Earl, when college football gets its quote-unquote playoff in two more years, and in January, the first week of January, that semifinal, whether they do it New Year's Day or January 2nd, whatever, that is going to be the most popular sporting event, the most popular sporting day. It'll be more popular than NFL wild card weekend or NFL divisional playoff weekend, because it'll be the first time it's happened. It will appease those people. I'm not one of them who say, you know, you got to have a playoff because you have to have a true determination of the national champion in college football. You know, I have no problems with the BCS. You know, it's not perfect, but it's not meant to be perfect. But I guarantee you, in that first week in January in 2015, there's going to be more interest in the first college football playoff. You know, I guess announced today will be the Rose and the Sugar Bowl will host the national semifinals. There'll be more interest in those playoffs than there will be in NFL wild card weekend.
No, that'll be very interesting because, let's face it, you know, if you have the top four teams, but supposedly say if two of the teams aren't teams that are attractive to people or really attractive, they could have a little egg on their face.
Well, no, but you know, you're not going to have a Boise State in there. You're not going to, you know, there's still going to be a subjective process here. There's going to be a ranking system. You're part of the rankings, you know.
Yeah.
So you know that. So they're still going to be heavily involved in that. So you're going to see probably more times than not a couple SEC teams among those four. You'll get a Pac-12 team or a Big 12 team or ACC. Maybe if the stars are aligned properly once every 10 years, you get a Big 10 team there as one of the four. But that's what's going to be happening. It's another opportunity for the SEC to flex its muscle and prove its dominance, because this is why they were the ones that were spearheading this drive to have the top four ranked teams, not the top four ranked conference championships, the top four ranked teams, because they know pretty much every year they're going to have at least two teams that are going to qualify for that. If there was a playoff this year, you would have had three SEC teams.
And that is impressive, and that's what we're going to be watching for. And this game, When I was reading all the intangibles for this game, the only intangibles they gave Notre Dame was their defensive line and linebackers. Other than that, all the other intangibles went to Notre Dame. Alabama.
Yeah, again, I thought maybe 9 points might be a little high, you know, for the point spread. But I think, again, if Alabama comes out of this and takes this game as seriously as I believe they will, you know, they should control this game. They should control this game. They win by at least a touchdown like this. If the offensive line just completely blows Notre Dame apart at the point of attack, this game could be a blowout. But I think this is going to be the most watched BCS championship game ever because you have two old-school programs.
Yeah.
You know, this is why anytime Notre Dame is involved in anything, it becomes a bigger event than probably should be because, you know, because of all the national appeal that that the Irish have. But I've had this discussion with Notre Dame fans all year round. Notre Dame is still a nationally irrelevant program based on consistency. That's how you determine relevance. This is the first time they have a chance for a national championship since 1988, 25 years. You can't tell me then that you're competing for a championship for the first time in 25 years, and all of a sudden, this is what, you know, you are a relevant program to be taken seriously once again. All this proves to me is that this season was probably an aberration for Notre Dame. Like I said, everything fell properly into place for them. More power to them. But unless you're going to tell me that this is going to be the start of a stretch over the next 5 years where they're going to be in serious contention, they're going to be involved in the playoffs, you know, three out of those 5 years, unless that happens, if this is just, you know, like I said, if it's for the next 4 years, this team we don't hear from ever again, you know, late in the regular season, then this was just an aberration. It just proves the point that Notre Dame and pretty much every Midwest-based program, aside from Ohio State, really does not matter consistently in the national championship football picture.
Well, then we'll just have to keep our eye on that because I'm like you. I don't think we'll see. I think Alabama's going to be around for a long time, and especially the way Saban controls the state of Alabama. And like you say, he goes into Georgia and gets some of the kids from Georgia. But, boy, just getting the best players out of Alabama and Georgia, that's probably all he needs, isn't it?
And Nick coaches. I mean, he just coaches them up. Here's a guy who all he cares about is coaching football.
Yep.
That's all he cares about is coaching football. Now, there'll be a lot of speculation that if he doesn't leave for the NFL after this year, probably next year, but he's going to be 62 next year. So,
yeah.
You know, so at some point you have to figure that he has to realize, okay, I'm pretty much it. This is the last move. I know there's a tremendous ego in the man, tremendous amount of arrogance. That's why he's an excellent head coach. And there's going to be a part of him that wonders, man, what if I did coach the Cleveland Browns, go back to his home state of Ohio? We'll see. We'll see what happens because the Cleveland Browns still haven't hired a coach yet. So,
yeah, and they're still
what happens after tonight? What happens after tonight if Alabama wins? All of a sudden, does he decide that maybe, you know what, I owe it to myself before I'm 70 to see if I can be a success in the NFL?
And and Chip Kelly looks like he's going to stay at Oregon because that's who Cleveland and Philadelphia both had their eye on Chip Kelly, but it looks like Chip's going to stay at Oregon and coach the Ducks again.
Well, I think he had no choice. It's one of those things where, you know, this, we've covered a lot of coaching interviews in that when coaches take themselves out,
yeah,
it's pretty much because they were told you're not getting the job.
Right.
And from what I understand from the people I've talked with over the last couple of days, that Chip Kelly has not really blown people away in Cleveland, Philly with his job interview. So it was pretty much that he had no choice but to remain there, which, again, surprises me because Chip Kelly, you know, that program is going to go under NCAA probation. Once this whole thing with they've been under investigation. Yeah, I would say just maybe a couple years, a year or two before that happens. And I can't imagine him staying there beyond 2014. I can't see that happening. So it was interesting to see how this, I'm sure he'll probably get another opportunity if he's interested next year. But from what I hear, that he did not interview as well as people thought he would have.
And that is interesting because you would have thought he would have interviewed very well. I mean,
people love these college coaches now.
Yes, they do.
It's the latest thing. They love the college coaches now. I mean, the Syracuse coach got the Buffalo Bills job, you know, and you're seeing that, you know, the NFC Championship game might be Pete Carroll against Jim Harbaugh. Both of them, their previous jobs before coming back to the NFL for a college head coaching job. So, that's the new thing. That's the new passion.
So it'll be interesting just to follow that. Hey, Drew, I want to thank you for coming on with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get together and we'll talk some more. Next time, we'll have to talk about your really favorite team, the Detroit Pistons.
So when are you actually retiring? I mean, I was told you were going to retire end of last year, and you're still back on the air. So when is this retirement going to actually happen?
Probably in April. That's
April of this year or April 2014?
April of this year, except I might push it back for you.
All right, well, don't push it back for me. Push it up for me. You can retire at the end of this week. I'd have no problem.
Okay, Drew. Hey, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Drew Sharp talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Prescription drug overdoses now kill more Americans than heroin and cocaine combined.
The victims are frequently found bent over in a sitting position because their muscles have just been relaxed and they stopped breathing.
And in many accidental overdoses, the drugs came from a doctor. I'm Ari Shapiro. Death by prescription drugs. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870. WKAR.
Here's a look at the Mid-Michigan weather forecast for the next few days. It'll be sunny today. We're expecting a high around 33 degrees. Overnight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-20s. On Tuesday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-30s. And Wednesday's outlook, mostly sunny skies and windy conditions with highs in the lower 40s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us. Right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. So we always look forward to talking with you, spending some of our time with you each and every afternoon. And as Drew was saying, yes, I will be retiring. It'll be pretty soon. I'm thinking it looks like it's going to probably be in April, but I won't find out for sure what the final day will be until next month. As soon as I do find out the final date, I'll let you know and pass it on to you. But we'll do that. It's probably sometime next month in February. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And you know we've got baseball is right around the corner. Hockey, your sport, is coming up with us. I know you're a little bit surprised that they finally settled hockey.
Yeah, I am. And I guess at this point, I don't even know what it's worth. I mean, they just, as Drew pointed out, why it took that long is, you know, I mean, we all know why, but the fact that it took that long is just, you know. Yeah. But the reality is... I'm going to be one of those people that once it starts up, I'll be watching it.
You'll be watching it, yep.
I mean,
you'll probably be down at Joe Louis Arena a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, I usually get down to a game once per year. It's a little expensive out of my pocket, but yeah, whether I get down there this year, I don't know. But nonetheless, they're going to be back on, and I'll be watching them. I guess I'm one of those sheep.
Yeah, a lot of people that love their sport, they love their sport. They might give up two or three other sports or that they like or that they're casual about, but their main sport that they love, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, or soccer or whatever, they stick by that main sport that they love. We'll be watching to see how many, because I like Drew said and you said as well, I can't see a lot of people staying away from games. You know, I think most people will be going back.
Yeah, I mean, people are, they're going to go back, you know, one town that I think that has, I mean, Hockey Town, obviously, Detroit for the Wings, great fan base, you know, Philadelphia is another one, Pittsburgh is another one, You know, those fans are going to come back in droves. They're gonna have sellout crowds, and Bettman just better not show his face, otherwise, you know, something might happen. Other than that, you know, people are going to come back, and they're going to be glad to see the players that you know, they pay to see. So it's going to be a shortened season. I think they were talking about just having conference games.
About 50 games, something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to have any non-conference games or not. Or division games or whatever. So I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see how that plays out.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, that's for sure. But, you know, we know that people love their hockey, and especially, as I told Drew before he got on there, I said, well, you know, since they've got all those people on the other side of the river down in Detroit, all those Canadian fans, they buy tickets, plus Detroit fans buy tickets. So they have great salesmen because they've got a lot of Canadians that come over and a lot of the regular fans there that buy it. So I mean, it's going to be a very, very big and a very lucrative business for hockey, that's for sure. Yep, people will, you know, they will, flop down those big dollars, those big bucks, to play for a game, and I know hockey tickets keep going up. That's funny. When we look at all sports, you know, you see those sports keep going up, the prices, and I keep saying they're not going to go, but yet. People still flop to the games. They still pay even the exorbitant prices of the game. Do you ever see a time where people won't go to a game or won't go, or that they may actually be priced out of the market?
That's a tough call because, I mean, you're obviously dealing with a lot of economics in that situation. I suppose if tickets got outrageous, I think it's going to reach a certain level. But then again, you have inflation. As most people probably would agree, their paychecks aren't really getting all that much bigger, but other things are getting more expensive. Anyone who just goes to the grocery store will tell you that, items have, you know, increased greatly in the last couple of years. Milk is just an example. It's possible that it would happen, but the reality is, I don't think you're going to see... It would be a very slow, it was sort of nickel and dime you in the sense of, you know, you wouldn't really notice it. One year it might go up, 50 cents for a ticket or something like that, where you're not going to notice it, but maybe over a period of 10 years, you might notice a difference or something like that. But, we've seen it, though, with Comerica Park. They've done some deals where they've made some nice packages for families to come out and have a nice day at the ballpark.
Yes, I know. I know the first time I went down to Comerica Park to see a game, I was really shocked at how much I had to pay for parking. I mean, to get close to the park, it's $20. I said, $20 for a baseball game? I just couldn't believe it. And that's something that I never did. I mean, I went back to a couple of games, but I didn't go to too many games. But paying $20 to park... Just doesn't seem American. You know, paying that much money just to see a game and just to park to see a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta find those spots, those prime spots.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, but you know, if you're not able to, for some reason, you're not able to walk a far distance or, whatever the case may be. Sometimes you're going to have to park. I've gone to numerous Tigers games, but, you park quite a ways away. You pay for $5 for parking. That's not bad. Then you gotta walk, a good distance. But, if you get down there late during a game and you don't really have anywhere to park, but then, like you just said, you got to pay for $20 for parking. Then you actually obviously had to pay for the tickets to get to the game. Then you got to buy the drinks. You got to buy the food. I mean, that adds up. It's not like it's something that you can just do all the time. I mean, of course, people do, but, those people can afford to do so. But your average American can't just simply go to every single game.
Okay, well, let's go to the game, go to the phone and see what Michael has to say. Michael, how you doing?
Thank you, Earl. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year
to your listeners all over the mid-Michigan area.
Yeah, Happy New Year to all of them as well.
Hey, thank you very much. Mr. Robinson, Saginaw High played Arthur Hill this Friday.
Oh, okay.
And Arthur Hill is one. I think it's a player up in here getting a lot of publicity. His name is Jalen Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Izzo was at the game, and so he's up here recruiting another player from Saginaw, just to let you know this. And also here in Saginaw, I don't know if you read the Detroit Free Press when Mitch McCabe was saying Torrey Jackson, the basketball player from Saginaw Buena Vista, canceled the game because the players wasn't coming to practice,
yeah.
They were slacking off their discipline. So,
yeah.
And eventually he canceled the game just to get their attention. Now, would you take that approach, a Coach Carter approach, to get your players, especially basketball players, attention? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, to me, it's a good approach. If your team, especially, you know, no one knows the team better than what you know it.
Sure.
And if they're slacking off, if they're not really playing hard or giving it hard, I didn't have a problem with him canceling the game, because that definitely caught the players' attention. And I bet you they'll be playing a lot harder the next time when they get out on the court, because that has to be embarrassing. Embarrassing to them, their schoolmates and friends and everything. So I think that had to be a pretty good thing for them, and I think they will learn from it.
Do you think that some coaches that take the players out for a quarter or for the first few minutes of a game and stuff, do coaches now need to have stronger discipline to get their attention more now?
I don't know if it has to be stronger. I mean, they have their ways of, you know, they set them, like you said, they set them out for a quarter or for a half, sometime at the start of the game or at the end of a quarter. So they have their ways, and if they screw up, they'll set them down for good. If they screw up enough, they'll lose a spot. Nothing is written in stone when you're playing sports.
Okay, yeah. Here's a good question for you, a real good question. It's been in the nationwide, it's not just a sports story no more. I don't know if you heard of this case in Steubenville, Ohio, where supposedly these football high school players supposedly assaulted a girl, and they was really mad at the city for refusing to do anything about it. I just want to know, I don't know if you close to a high school scene or you ever been close to a high school scene like that, to hear anything that awful happening up in around in a high school scene or not. But why is so many school districts and municipalities are blind to stuff like that happening, especially when there's young kids involved? I'll just take it off the air. I know it's a contentious issue and it's not about feeling good and about games and everything. Oh, let me ask you about this before you answer that. What you think? Who's going to win the football game tonight? And I'll take it off the air.
Thanks. Okay, thank you. I think it's going to be Alabama tonight. I sort of think it was going to be an upset, but I got to go with Alabama. I got to go with the team that's favored to win. Yes, I heard about that supposed rape that happened with the youngsters, and it's very sad to hear about it, and it's very sad to hear about things like that, and those things happen because kids, let's face it, kids aren't very mature at a young age. They're just not that mature, and so they get caught up on some things, and that's unfortunate, but it happens. But they're just not plain, not mature as they should, that they should be. Let's go back to the phones. We got Jack on the line. Jack, how you doing?
Earl, I called about something else, but while I've been on hold and listening to the latest thing there on the football players in Steubenville, and it's real difficult for anybody to be able to take a position at this time, because it was all over the news yesterday, and the attorney that spoke on behalf of the players involved said that situation is totally blowing out of proportion, and it was consensual. I mean, I don't know. None of us know whether that was the case or not. And, of course, the whole team is being run to be judged on a basis of a couple of players that put themselves in a bad situation. We don't know how it'll all come out, but
right.
It's hard to vilify everybody right away. So I'm of the belief, let's just wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we all have to do. Yeah, we just have to wait and see how it plays out, and hopefully it'll play out, best for all parties. But, we just have to wait and see.
One sure hopes so. But the other thing I did call about, and it's just a little social commentary, when you guys were discussing earlier about the attendance and games and that type of thing, it dawned on me. I was going to tell you, I have season tickets to the Lions games, to Michigan State football, Michigan State basketball, Detroit Tigers, and various others. It's just that I happen to make my payment through Comcast.
Okay. So you sit at home and watch them.
A lot of people find themselves in that situation, and with all the choices there are out there these days, and with the prices being what they are, I think a lot of people have to pick and choose carefully.
Oh, that's very true. So true. And we'll probably see more and more of that every day. And it's getting big now, but it's probably going to get even bigger in the next year or two.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22 because on the one hand, you want all that revenue, you want all that money that's being dangled out there through Big Ten Network now and ESPN and so forth. But in return for that, the more you make it available to everybody and the higher the prices go in actual attendance on the other hand, I think these are the results you're just going to see. It just makes sense to me.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, thanks a lot, Jack. Thank you. Let's go to the phones. And JC, how are you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing? Hey,
okay.
Clear stuff up. Okay. Didn't Oregon lose to a higher-ranked team than Alabama did at the time they lost each one? I think Oregon lost to Stanford, which is ranked right up there.
Yeah.
And Alabama lost to A&M, which wasn't ranked as high as Oregon. So what is Alabama doing in the championship game? Shouldn't Oregon be?
No, but Alabama was ranked higher. I mean, they were just ranked higher, and
I'm saying, if you look at the whole, at the end of the season, they both have one loss.
Yep.
And Oregon lost to a higher-ranked team than Alabama, and Alabama's in the championship game. I guess I don't understand that.
Well, it depends on how you look at the teams. Some people don't think some people still think that Alabama was the higher ranked team, even though they might have lost to a little bit lesser team. It's hard to say. Texas A&M is a very good team. They're in the SEC now.
But if you're gonna go by that, I think Alabama is the best team in the country. Okay, don't get me wrong. And I don't like Oregon, but they lost to a higher-ranked team. If you're going to base it on this and this and that, come on.
Yeah, if you're basing it on those rankings, that's your opinion when you base it on the rankings, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, say if one team lost to an unranked team and was ranked one spot ahead of the other team, and they both lost one game, and one team lost to a five-ranked team, the other one wasn't ranked, are they still going to put Alabama, we'll say that this scenario came up and Alabama was ranked number two and they lost to unranked team and Oregon lost to a ranked team. Are they going to still put Alabama in there? No.
No, probably not.
Okay. Well, the way I'm saying it is Oregon lost to a higher ranked team than Alabama. They should have been in the national title game.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot. And I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.